Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Welcome into Hour 2 of the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Mitch Fortner. Results of the poll question coming up here in just a moment. Seems like the Twitter sphere agrees with me that Alex poised to be a breakout star for K-State this year. I'll tell you why I think he has the edge over Jesse Ertz in just a moment. Do you think, if we put up a poll question right now, Mitch, can we get through this next half hour until the Royals take over without any technical difficulties after everything that happened in the first hour of the show?
Yeah, we'll be fine.
But what do you think everybody out there would come to believe after hearing that first hour?
They'll say yes.
You think they trust us?
Well, see, I'm on more the technical side. I got a lot of buttons to push, a lot of levels to put up and down, and a lot of bells and whistles over here.
Well, you've been doing fine.
I usually keep it under control.
You've been doing fine, my friend. The issues have been on my side. They have been on my side. I will admit that to you. Hopefully, I can get through this without breaking anything before 5:30 and the Royals take over. Okay, poll question today. Who is most poised to be a breakout star for K-State in 2017? My definition here, breakout star, because I do think it's important to give you that, even though it is subjective. I'm thinking somebody right now has not been an All-Big 12 selection at any level, first team, second team, third team, whatever, and they are going to turn into a household name in the conference by the end of 2017. That's the way I'm evaluating this. The choices that I gave you were Alex Barnes, Jesse Ertz, or other. I think for obvious reasons, Barnes and Ertz come to the top of this discussion. One, they're offensive players. I mean, if you're talking defensive players, especially in the Big 12, do you ever really have defensive stars, quote-unquote, in the Big 12? Who's the best Big 12 defensive player you can name right now heading into 2017?
Oh, best defensive player right now, oh my gosh, why am I blank on his name? From Texas.
Malik Jefferson.
Jefferson. I knew it was Malik. I was about to say Jefferson or something.
I figured that's where you were going, but that's the point, right? Like, you got to sit there and think for a moment. Who's the biggest offensive star in the Big 12? Just give me a name.
So obviously, Alex Barnes.
Well, okay. Besides him, I don't need you to humor me in this discussion.
All right, I will.
I mean, you had two Heisman finalists.
Man, I love
last year.
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah,
man,
there
I love
you go.
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield, right? The offensive guys, especially in the Big 12, such an offensive-centric conference, are what come to mind. So it virtually eliminates anybody defensively. I'm sorry, Reggie Walker. I think he would be on the fringe if you are going to talk about a defensive guy that could really jump to the forefront. He does play the quote-unquote sexiest defensive position there is. Biggest defensive stars in the NFL are pass rushers, you know, Von Miller, J.J. Watt. So he fits that bill, and I think he could be in line to have a very good year. But he's not going to be a star across the conference where everybody knows his name. Now, there are some fringe offensive players that I think fit into the other category. That's why I gave it to you. I mean, if you want to try and tell me that Byron Pringle is going to make a D.D. Westbrook type of jump this year. Westbrook, a Heisman finalist last year for Oklahoma after a fairly pedestrian first year as a junior college transfer at wide receiver. I mean, I'll listen to it. There's room for a wide receiver star in the K-State offense, even as much as we think of it being geared towards running the football, ground and pound, because Tyler Lockett is probably the biggest star. Well, I mean, he's right there with Colin Klein, if you're talking biggest stars that have rolled through K-State and Snyder 2.0 here since 2009, and he came back. So it can happen, but I think it's a tough ask, especially when you have a great running back like Alex Barnes and Jesse Ertz. Not being Jake Waters, his strength lies really in running the football. Now, 64% of people agree with me, according to this poll, which has hit almost 300 votes, that Alex Barnes is most poised to be a breakout star. Jesse Ertz got 24% of the vote, and other goes to 12%. I did get one write-in vote as well, and that one nominated sideline reporter Matt Walters as the biggest breakout star poised to hit that mark in 2017. I think that is going to be just one vote and one vote only that hits that. I mean, no offense, but as much as defensive players have a hard time making it as stars, household names, sideline reporters, they have it even tougher. I think Jesse Ertz is in this conversation, but there are a couple reasons why I think Barnes is much more likely to be the breakout star and a household name across the conference. One is, a name or two that we have already mentioned here in this segment, and that is the mere fact that you're talking about best quarterbacks in the conference. There are two guys that are going to be in the Heisman conversation all year. For sure, one of them will be in the conversation for being the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft. Those two are Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph of Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. You have two legitimate bona fide stars at the college level that are already there. Mason Rudolph, I'll classify as a star, even though he may not have hit the heights that Baker Mayfield has. But Mason Rudolph is much more the darling of NFL teams. He's a prototypical NFL type of quarterback. So I think that helps elevate him. And then we know Baker Mayfield. Been to the college football playoff. Been a Heisman finalist. He's been right there with a chance to win the award. He's won Big 12 championships. He is as bona fide a star as they come. So even if Jesse Ertz is great, no matter how great of a year he has, he's basically fighting for third team all Big 12, being the third best quarterback in the conference. And we know that his numbers are not going to match up to the best QBs in the conference. That's just by virtue of the Wildcat offense. That's no knock on anybody, but that's the way that it goes. He could take that giant year two jump, as most quarterbacks do in Bill Snyder's offensive system. Year two as a starter. Jake Waters has done it all the way through Bill Snyder's entire coaching tenure here at K-State. It's happened with darn near everybody. But even if he does that, I think he's still just looking so far up at those two that there's not going to be enough attention paid to him to classify him as a quote-unquote star to the average fan in the Big 12. And the other thing I worry about when you're talking about the Jesse Ertz case here versus Alex Barnes is just him being injury-prone. Now, we have not seen Barnes, in all fairness, get a ton of work, and he did have an injury issue last year that really turned into two. By the end of the year, he got smacked in the head against Kansas, kept him out of the TCU game. Then he had a different issue, a neck issue, before the bowl game. So he was not able to go play in the bowl game. But I think over the course of Jesse Ertz's career, the injury concerns there outweigh Alex Barnes. You've had two major knee surgeries for Ertz. You also had him missing games on multiple occasions at different parts in the season last year just from getting beat around in games. So I worry more if you're going to have somebody missing time, missing games, missing chances to build that star power. I would worry much more about Ertz than I would Barnes.
You can't forget about, John, the injury of that Alex Barnes had that Coach mentioned during a press conference, and he didn't know about it. That's also on the table as well.
Well, right. I mean, yeah, that
whatever that means.
It was a very weird, bizarre situation surrounding his injury. But we did get clarification from Barnes when we spoke to him in the spring, and that's really what I was referring to, where he confirmed that, yeah, he had issues after the Kansas game, but it was a different issue that held him out of the bowl game. And no idea specifically what that was, just something with the neck. So he's had problems, and that is something to think about. It's in the back of your mind. It'll sit there. But I do not think it's nearly as concerning as a guy who's had ACL surgery twice, you know, on big-time knee injuries, and then was, you know, he got knocked out of the Oklahoma game. He got knocked out of the Stanford game. There were points last year where they were having to be careful with him. The Kansas game at the end of the year last year. I mean, there's three examples right there that have nothing to do even with the two major knee injuries that that Jesse Ertz has come across. So those are the two things that hold him back the most to me when you're talking about a guy that could become a breakout star.
Well, and that's the thing about Alex Barnes, because you feel, and it's been a while since I think K-State fans have felt this way, to where a running back is effective enough that it can take some carries off of the quarterback. Because we've seen the quarterback play a vital role in rushing the ball over the past handful of years with, you know, going back to Colin Klein, Daniel Sams, those guys, and Jake Waters, you know, and so on and so forth about carrying the football. They all did it quite a few times. And, of course, Colin had John Hubert around him, but you could not – you had to feed the ball to Colin Klein.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was so effective with running the football. But you go down the line and those – quarterbacks needed to run the football because running backs just wasn't as effective as somebody like John Hubert. Alex Barnes is probably one of those guys that could take some carries off of Jesse Ertz.
Yeah, look, John Hubert was more than serviceable. Good back. But the talent level of Alex Barnes is much higher than what John Hubert was there. And Bill Snyder, one of the best things I think about him and his offenses, and certainly Dana Dimmel and Del Miller, they belong in this conversation too because they're running a lot of the offense, since coming back in 2009, they've been adaptable. They will build around their stars. Whoever they see is the star on the offense. They've got two that are very good in Barnes and Ertz. I think Barnes, you're talking raw talent, I think he's the more talented guy, and they can orchestrate the offense around whatever they want to. It was first Daniel Thomas when Bill Snyder came in. Then it became Colin Klein. He was the next star. Then it became Tyler Lockett, and there hasn't really been one emerging star the last couple of years. So when I name off to you Daniel Thomas, Colin Klein, Tyler Lockett, that's three different positions, three different skill positions. You go running back, quarterback, receiver. They can tool it around whatever they want to. And it is my belief, just looking at it right now, I mean, I'm not in practice, it's my belief that Alex Barnes would be the highest on the talent scale. And this is coming from somebody who at this time last year, when we were talking about Alex Barnes, I thought he was way down the depth chart, and I was like, well, I thought someone told me he might convert to linebacker at some point. So that was my thought about Alex Barnes a year ago. I've completely come around. I feel like that gives me a little more credibility here to talk about his talent level. Unfortunately, we've got just about 10 more minutes with you before the Royals kick in as they take on the Yankees once again tonight. Mitch has his Jabroni of the Week when we come back, heavily influenced this week by yours truly. So I'm looking forward to it.